Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Well, well, well. Welcome, everybody, to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler. I am so excited to be here with you, as I've said it time and time again. This is one of my happiest times of the week doing the radio show. I just feel so lucky. I know that sounds a little cliche, but I do. This is so fun to be able to have this time with many, many listeners that send me emails on a regular basis saying, Mark, I love the shows and the podcasts. Keep them up. And I appreciate that. For those that are maybe a new listener, you saw the title and maybe you were forward the topic for today's show and you're just checking this out for the first time, thank you. I promise this will not be a waste of your time. As I said, my name is Mark Kohler, a CPA attorney, entrepreneur, small business owner, real estate investor, author, surfer on the weekends. I actually am going to be going tonight. It's the last day of school for my it's the last day of summer before school starts tomorrow. So my son and his friends, he's a senior this year in high school. He's like, Dad, you got to come out. We're all going surfing tonight until sunset. I'm like, all right, I'm there. So I'm going to go out and have all of his friends show me up. But I love that. I've got a wife and four kids. Live in Southern California and consider myself one of the luckiest men on earth. And I'm just, again, grateful to be with you folks here today. So we've got a great show planned today. I'm going to bring on some experts here for a minute. If you didn't know the structure of our show, I'd like to bring out some experts with some little thoughts and feelings, some stories and experiences they may have had this week. These are folks that work in our sister companies of the K&E CPA's accounting firm. And also the law firm, KKOS Lawyers. So I call on our experts on our team. We've got about 25 of us now between 4 to 5 CPAs and 4 lawyers and an incredible team of paralegals and accountants helping clients around the country. So those are my resources for our tips every week. And our topic today is going to be better managing our rental property. And I've got a couple experts that are going to be joining us, and I'm really excited about it. And we've got some good stuff to talk about. So that'll be closer to the bottom of the hour, maybe around 20 minutes after. We'll jump into our rental property topic, and we'll be taking live calls for anybody that would like to ask a question of our panel. Or we've got the chat line open. For those that are on a computer, having a lunch, maybe just sitting there on your computer. And I know many of you just listen to the show as a podcast on iTunes. You're at the gym, you're working out, and you're just checking this, catching up, I know, after hours. So welcome to many of you after hours. Well, we've got one of our experts on a tight schedule. So I'm going to go first to Brian Brown before we talk about the Democratic National Convention, because last week we had a live report from the Republican National Convention. So I've got a little something we're going to talk about here when it comes to the Democratic Convention. So we'll do that in just a moment. But before then, we are going to bring out Brian Brown, an experienced, incredible, seasoned, the father of our accounting firm. He knows I hate to say these words because it kind of alludes to his age, but we've got Brian on the line. Are you there, Brian?
I'm here, Mark. Yeah, you crack me up. You just literally crack me up. It's, you know, I was going to make some smart-aleck comment, and I still will. You know, you said it's not going to be a waste of time. Well, you get me on there, maybe it is a waste of time. I don't
know.
You know, but you actually crack me up.
Well, I appreciate it. You're just, you know what you are, you're delirious, because most people don't know that we only have 11 days, people, until the September 15th deadline. So if you haven't filed your LLC or your corporate tax return yet, Brian and the team back at the home office is going crazy. You probably had a long weekend, Brian, didn't you?
Yeah, that's beside the point. And again, but I don't want to contradict you, but I'm going to just a little bit. Because the 15th falls on a Saturday, we actually have until the 17th to get our taxes filed. Yeah, don't wait till the 17th. please.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
You know, we do have a life outside of work. So please, let's S-corps especially, the S-corps, we've got a penalty of $195 a month for every month that it's late, up to 12 months. So you basically, if you're a year late, that's almost $2,400. You know, take $60 away from it, and you know, $2,340 is what the penalty is, and that's per partner.
Yeah. Now this is, you're stealing my thunder, because I wanted to bring this up a little later here with the deadline facing us, but this may be even, I'm glad you brought this up. So let's reiterate that. And let's confirm also the LLC penalty. If you do not file your S corporation tax return by September 17th this year, it's $195 per month per shareholder as a penalty. So that's not to be taken lightly. And what is the LLC penalty, Brian?
The LLC penalty is almost identical.
It is.
It is identical. And again, it just needs to be done. Now, again, there is a little bit of leeway on LLCs. I probably shouldn't bring this in. But S-corps is hard set. LLCs, we can get away for a couple of weeks and not worry too much about the penalty. But on S-corps, it is set in stone. And there's basically no way out of it.
Yes. No, I'm glad you bring this up. Very important topic. So for everybody, keep in mind, we've got the October 15th deadline for 1040s for all of you that are doing your personal tax returns. And then we also have the S Corporation and LLC tax return deadline that is in just 13 days, not 11 days.
Yeah, any partnership return is due on the 17th. Whether it's an LLC, a general partnership, limited partnership, they're all due on the 17th.
Okay. Well, good, good. Well, excellent. Thank you, Brian. Now, did you have any other I know you had some sort of tip other than get your tax returns filed. Did you have a little something you wanted to share?
Yeah, I did, and it's quick, and it's a combination legal tip, tax tip. I'm not an attorney, so I'll let you deal with the attorney part of it, if you comment on it. Get everything in writing. I just came across a case the other day I was looking at, and it had to do with the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband and wife, they had decided on alimony and everything, and he had been paying her. They were separated, and there was no written instrument. Well, he had been deducting it as alimony, because that's what they had agreed on, and the divorce was finally final. There was an agreed-on amount, and then there was finally something in writing. Well, everything he had paid before, not deductible, because there was nothing in writing.
Ooh.
Make sure everything is in writing.
Yeah, now from a tax standpoint, this is a great little tax tip I'd like to just expound on for 2 seconds for everybody, is if you are getting divorced, from a tax perspective, I'm going to say it a different way than what Brian just said, is let's make sure it's very clear regarding alimony, the separation of assets, the separation of 401ks and IRAs, and child support, and make sure that it's very, very clear of who's claiming which child for deduction's sake and all that, because from an IRS standpoint, from your account standpoint, we need that detail.
Yeah. And again, don't have it put down as family support, because family support, guess what? Not deductible. Unless the only person there is the wife. Unless it says alimony, it's not deductible. Child support is not deductible. But again, my main point is, anytime you have anything, whether it's a partnership agreement, whatever it is, get it in writing, please. Please.
I like it. You know, and this is good about alimony. Alimony is a tax deduction to the payor. It's income to the payee, the person receiving the alimony. But child support is not a write-off. And I know that we have talked to a lot of family planning a lot of families doing some planning strategies, putting kids on the payroll to create some sort of write-off rather than pay child support. I'm just going to say, if you have a cooperative marital separation and we can create payroll for kids and cover things, that might be a strategy that could work, maybe, but do not plan on writing off child support as a business expense. It just is not going to work. So I'm glad you brought this up. This is a really good topic. Divorce is not something fun to talk about, but from an IRS tax planning standpoint, there's issues that have to be covered.
Yeah, and again, I'm definitely not advocating divorce. Just it happens. You know, it happens 50% of the time. You know, I mean, I'm unfortunately, that's what the statistics bear out. And you know, let's make sure everything's done proper.
Okay. Well, I like it. Well, great comment. Thank you for that downer. I appreciate it, Brian.
Yeah, no problem.
I hope everybody feels a little more invigorated today. By the way, if you're getting divorced, let's get in writing. Okay, everybody have a great day. Bye. Okay. Yeah, no, that's good.
But
thanks, Brian.
Like,
thanks for
it goes back to everything. Let's make sure everything's in writing. Again, that's the legal part of it. Let's make sure that, you know, all your agreements, everything in writing to make sure there aren't issues going forward.
Yeah. Sorry, dig yourself out. Lisa, just make sure you don't schedule Brian for a couple more weeks. And let's put him at the end of the show, not the beginning. No, I'm just kidding. Brian, thanks so much for your little tip. And I know you are working around the clock. I got the reports of everybody working over the weekend. So I'll just make a final plea to anybody listening. If you don't have your tax returns filed, immediately call Marisha. Let's see what we can do in the final 2 weeks here to make sure that everything's in on time. Brian, thanks again. Have a great final tax season.
Hey, I'm more than happy to. Take care.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye.
All right. Well, now before we go to our next legal tipster, which is Lee Chen, a regular on the show. He's our litigator out of California and a huge resource to many, many of our clients around the country. I want to talk about the DNC. That would be the Democratic National Convention, which is going on right now as we speak. For some of you that are listening to this podcast weeks or months later, it may not be as a timely a comment, but I just want to throw this out there. We did have I was able to get a delegate last week to call us live from the convention. It was kind of fun to have him on the show, a political expert sharing his thoughts on the Republican platform. And I want everyone to know, I tried to find a contact of mine that would be at the Democratic convention and be willing to give us a live report. The senator, it was actually a state senator, I was trying to get on the line, and he was too busy today. Last week was a little easier for people because they had the hurricane going through Florida, so the Republican National Convention had some breaks here and there, so we were able to get our correspondent, if you will, live. But the Democratic National Convention is going on right now as we speak with a live program, so it's a little harder to get someone to come on the show. However, I want to make an important point because I want to be fair to the Democratic listeners that I have. Democrat listens. We're all Democratic, the Democrat listeners. So what I wanted to just mention is I guess if you've been to my Facebook, you will have seen that I put a couple likes out there. I am in favor of Romney. Now, I don't know those of you that may be very offended by this that are huge President Obama fans. Don't turn off your computer, your radio, your phone, hang up your phone. Don't do it quite yet. Let me just make a point here as a tax advisor. And I know many of you listen to my radio show and my podcast because of the tax tips and tax strategies that we give you. Let me just be very clear that for middle income and greater taxpayers, you will be paying more taxes under President Obama's tax plan. Now, if you're in a, if you're less than middle income, and there's all sorts of breakdowns on this. Go to USA Today, go to Wall Street Journal, and I promise you, next week in my newsletter, I'm going to have a breakdown of the two tax plans presented by both presidents. It is it's pretty ugly, and I don't want to be paying more taxes next year. So that's probably why I'm leaning really towards a businessman like Romney to try and get our national debt under control and stimulate our economy. And I want to be in all fairness and honesty, and again, I may offend some other people out here. I voted for President Obama this last go-around. I did, and that may shock some of you. I really felt that he was the guy that was going to stop the insanity with George W. Bush's policies, and I didn't think McCain was the one. But at this point, I think he's done his job, and we've gotten through the last 4 years, and I think Obama did what he needed to do, but it's time for a change. And so that's to not get too political on a tax and legal radio show, but this is going to affect our tax bill. This is going to be a tax issue. We've got a state tax. We've got income tax. We've got capital gain tax. We've got the Bush-era tax cuts phasing out. Folks, from a tax planning perspective, this is absolutely critical. So I don't mean to, again, politics can be a very volatile topic, so I don't want to spend too much time on it and turn this into a political talk show. I was just wanting to get out there and tell and share my feelings, and I think there's a lot going on that's great at the Democratic National Convention. I encourage all of you to go listen to it, whether you're going to vote for a Democrat or not. Go find out what they stand for. Find out what President Obama's plan is. Do your research. And it's the same thing I said last week when we had the Republicans on. So anyway, with that said, I felt I needed to give fair time. I feel like a national network here, giving fair time to both sides of the aisle. So there we go. There it is. All done. Now we're going to jump back over to our specialist, our expert, Lee Chen. We're excited to have him here on the show on a regular basis. He's an attorney out of our California office. Lee, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Hello, Mark. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Thank you. Well, I'm anxious to hear what little tip you've got for us today and what you might...
Well, before I get to that, I just wanted to thank you for raising that that little just the heads up on what's coming up moving forward. It was probably a lot more practical than, say, like Eastwood talking to an empty chair.
There you go. I don't know about that. That's a good one. I like that.
So well, anyways, we're really excited here at the office. A lot of people are following your sage advice, buy a rental once a year. We're getting a lot of people in the office who are looking out in the market to get that first rental, you know, all over the country. And so it was very coincidental when I was thinking about a tip. I wanted to think of one that was geared towards people who are becoming first-time landlords, and something that that I, as a landlord, also use very frequently. It's documenting the condition of the property when you rent and when a tenant moves out. I call it using a property inventory checklist, so that you document what exactly is the condition of the property, you know, the walls, the fixtures. We've talked about fixtures before on the radio show, and this is kind of a subset of that, documenting that, you know, everything works and all of that in a one-sheet piece of paper, so that, you know, when the tenant is in the unit, they, you know, they'll document, you have a record that shows, well, you know, everything was working. But more importantly, when they move out and there's damages, you have something to compare with, because when a tenant moves out, you know, their responsibility is to restore the unit back to it was at the inception of the tenancy. And a lot of landlords don't document what that condition was in the beginning, at least in writing with the tenant's signature on it.
I like it. Now, as many of, and as you know, Lee, I know that's why you chose a rental property topic today. We're going to be talking with some experts here shortly on rental property management. But I'd like, from a lawyer standpoint, and our experts will certainly probably want to add to that inspection procedure here in just a bit. But from a lawyer perspective, I always think of the movie Jerry Maguire, where Tom Cruise is saying, "Help me." I think he's talking to Cuba Gooding Jr., and he's saying, "Help me, help you, help me, help you." And as a lawyer, I'm sure, Lee, you feel this way, and we've joked about it in the hallway a lot, where it's like, you know, I wish our clients would help us more. And from a lawyer standpoint, you love this agreement signed by the tenant as an exhibit. I suspect this is just one of those golden little nuggets that you like in a case when you're going after a tenant.
Well, absolutely. And well, both ways also. I mean, it protects both the landlord and the tenant. You know, when the tenant moves in, if something is not working or if there's a crack on the wall or something is broken and the tenant doesn't want to be responsible for it, they put it on that checklist also. So it protects both of them. And from a lawyer standpoint, yes, when a dispute comes, when someone says, well, you know, this thing wasn't working, and I ask them, well, do you have some documentation that was working before? That's where this really helps me to, you know, to show the other side, hey, this is what it was like before, you know, and then to try to allocate who should be responsible.
Yeah, no, perfect. I love it. Well, now that, for many of you, is a two-pronged tip. That is a legal tip because it's not when you're going to have to sue a tenant, it's when. This is something that all of us as landlords are going to have to do, is to go after a tenant. And even if you don't file a formal lawsuit, you're definitely going to have to make some claims and maybe write a nasty letter from time to time. So helping build the case for your lawyer is an incredible legal tip. And then shortly here, we'll get maybe we'll start this off as one of our topics or issues with our property management experts to help us on their experience in that case too. But Lee, thank you so much. Great little tip there. Keep a little file on each rental property. Keep everything in writing. Get your tenant to sign as much as you can. Take video. Take pictures. Get it all documented, well-documented. Keep a digital file. Make sure your lawyer can get just an onslaught of information if needs be to protect your claim. Lee, thank you.
You're very welcome. And if anybody ever has any questions regarding, you know, if they're first-time landlords, you know, what documents should I be using, you know, stuff like that, just feel free to call our office and we can, you know, any of the attorneys can further elaborate on, you know, some of the due diligence that you should be doing.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Yeah, of course, folks, if you need to get a hold of Lee, L-E-E at KKOSlawyers.com. That's L-E-E at KKOSlawyers.com. So thanks, Lee. We'll be talking to you in a few weeks. Hope to have you back.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. All right, well, folks, we are now to the close to the bottom of the hour where we get to bring out our experts for today's show. I am so excited. This is live and unscripted. I'm grateful for our experts that have found time to join us today. This is going to be power-packed with information that I know that will be helpful to all of us, many of us. As you know, I recommend to all my clients that they try to buy one rental property a year. Having rental property is such an important part of building wealth and tax planning and passing on a legacy to our family. And rental property should be a part of all of our lives. And if we're going to have rental property, we need to know how to manage it. So that's what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the hour. And I want to bring out my first expert and good friend and advisor. And, oh, just I can't say enough about this guy. I'm so excited to have Chris Wilson on the line. Chris Wilson is out of Phoenix, Arizona. And he is a broker and an agent and owns his own brokerage and property management firm. He's been in Phoenix for years. He's worked with development and city officials and very complex projects. He also has been a speaker for numerous different real estate investment groups and Nouveau Riche in the past, as well as he's spoken at countless education workshops on weekends. He's fantastic from stage. He keeps it real. And I just want to welcome my good friend Chris Wilson to the show. Chris, are you there?
I'm here, Mark. Thank you for that stunning introductory.
Well, it's true. It was true.
I've never heard it outlined that way. Holy cow.
Well,
no wonder why I feel busy.
Yeah, there you go. It's true. And you know what? Now I need to give this disclaimer right off the bat. For some of you that may be listening that have heard Chris Wilson speak before, I do need to say this is not FCC regulated. This is as good as satellite radio. But do remember, Chris, it is a family show. So if you do have to swear about a prior tenant, you know, just keep that in mind.
Oh, I don't swear about prior tenants. They're good, the bad, and the ugly, and we just leave them that way.
There you go. Sounds good. All right. Well, let me bring out my other expert. This is going to be a panel discussion, and I'm so excited to try to, I'm trying to bring East Coast, West Coast to here as best I could. And, in fact, I think, Chris, you're on the East Coast right now. You're down in Florida. We were able to get you on a – you were out on work somewhere at a workshop but right now. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm at a coaching workshop for a program that I'm working with right now.
Oh,
we're in Orlando. Well, beautiful, hot Lando.
Ooh, yeah, hot Lando. And normally in Phoenix, so I don't know which worse, the humidity or the dry heat of Phoenix at 110+.
Well, when you're a desert rat like me, the humidity's worse. I'll take the heat over humidity any day.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, our other expert and guest, let me quickly get him out here, Chris, and then I've got a question for you guys. I'm so excited to be having you with us. We've got Ryan Lubin, co-founder and partner of the principal and the principal broker for Lubin Property Management. He's out of Memphis, Memphis, Tennessee, which is a hot area right now. Not even though we were just talking about temperatures, I'm talking about investment location. Tennessee is just booming, and I've got a lot of clients buying in the Memphis area and working with Ryan's company. And I've heard only good things, and we're so grateful to have Ryan join us to share his experience. He's also been a partner in a commercial construction business that specializes in HUD apartment renovations. He oversees leasing and maintenance and all construction of these projects. And so we are really lucky to have him with us too. So Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. Thank you so much for finding some time in your busy schedule. And I know it's with this holiday weekend, it seems like short notice. I know it's short for you. So I want to tell you thanks.
Thank you for having me on.
Hey, you bet. Well, guys, we've got so many clients that listen to this show, thousands that will listen over the next few months through our podcasts and Blog Talk Radio. And so I really can't emphasize enough how many people are hanging on every word you say, because this is very, very important to all of us. I myself am a property manager. A property owner. And I manage a couple of my properties myself, and I probably do a crappy job at it. So we're all anxious to get your guys' tips, strategies, experiences, whatever you can share with us in the next 30 minutes. We are all yours. We really want to highlight your companies as well, and if we have properties in your area, I want my clients to turn to you for a consult or even your services. I think they'd be in good shape to be working with either of you guys on the East Coast or West Coast. So let me just throw it out first to Chris here. You heard Lee's comments. I mean, we've got so many things to talk about here, but let's just maybe bring this up just right off the bat. Chris, what's your experience about that initial leasing of the property and getting a inspection done, documenting it? What's been your experience on the importance of it and enforcing it? Any little pitfalls or something you'd share there?
Well, you know, my goal is to stay out of court. And, you know, I do a lot of leasing to a lot of lawyers. So it becomes doubly important. Our general requirement for our leasing managers as well as our maintenance folks is the video document or photo document everything, depending on the occurrence. When a tenant moves out of the house, we actually go through and photo everything and video everything with the tenant there. And we get them on the recording as saying they agree that we've gone through the property and this is what we've seen. Prior to a tenant moving in, when the leasing manager goes over with the new tenant moving in, they walk through the house with the new tenant with the video on, and stays with your video phones, that's simple. They walk through the house with the video on and ask the tenant to point out anything they see that's a consideration or an important problem to them, and we get it documented on video. That way, when we have the tenants move out, there's no argument about the condition then and the condition now.
Now, do you think most property managers are doing this? Are they taking this time? Or is this a new occurrence? Ryan, what are you seeing out there? Is this something that you're doing in your practice every day?
Well, we're seeing that people are going more towards the video and taking pictures, because obviously if you have pictures, it's easier. If any questions come up. The other thing we have, you're talking about earlier about going to court and running into problems, we have something that states in our lease, once they sign, and we notify the residents when they come in and sign that they have to get back to us. If there's any problems or they see anything, they have to put it in writing and get back to our office within 48 hours. Otherwise, we're taking the idea that everything is perfect and everything's good to go.
I like that. Let me repeat that. So in your lease agreement, not only are you, when occasion permits, you're doing the photos and videos, much like Chris.
Correct.
But you're also having a waiver that in the lease agreement it says if you move in the first 2 days, something doesn't jump out at you, like a closet that's not functioning properly or something, and you don't email us or put it in writing, then we're just going to assume it was all good to go.
Great. And it has to be in writing. You'll find, and I'm sure it's probably laws or shame everywhere, you know, they have to put it in writing. And that way you know about it.
That's good. What do you, Chris, do about your, and I appreciate you guys letting me tag team you a little bit, and you just cut me off if one of you want to add something where I may change topics on you a little bit. You just cut me off here. But, Chris, when we have clients of ours that manage their own rentals, they may be a little more diligent and do some of these things. If they're out there shopping around to hire a property manager, I assume this is obviously something they want to ask property managers if they're doing. Are you finding other property managers are as careful as you? What recommendation would you give to the kind of the weekend manager that might be facing this, Chris?
Generally what we find, and I hate to put it this way, but most of the time the weekend managers don't do property management for a living. So, for example, what was just stated about putting it in a lease and making them responsible for notifying you in 48 hours works in many states. In Arizona, for example, that's not valid. The combination of the rules as they change from state to state becomes a problem. That's why people hire professional property managers. I find that most weekend property managers tend to be a little more lax with their tenants. And a lot of times I get calls when the tenant has become an issue. The challenge with being a landlord is setting the expectation on your tenants, which I believe it was Ryan just did a very good job with, and at the same time setting the expectation for the tenancy with the owners and making sure everybody follows through. The more evidence and the more preponderance of systems that you have, the easier the relationship both ways, less likely you end up in court.
I think that's a great point that when I say weekend manager, I'm thinking of the weekend warrior, someone like me that might go out and put on some tube socks and play some basketball down at the local gym or church, and I'll blow out a knee. I think the same thing goes with these us folks that own three or four rental properties. We may say, well, I can manage it myself. I can download a lease agreement, and I can just fly out to Memphis and get a Southwest flight, meet my tenants, get them in there, and then walk away, and I can save 10% of my rent or whatever it is by just doing it myself. when a lot of weekend warriors, for lack of a better word, may not know what the local rules are and can't respond quickly to complaints. I just think that property managers from a distance is just absolutely critical. Ryan, do you think people can – gosh, and this is not a show about hiring property managers and why how critical it is, but I just I think Chris is onto something there, that the average homeowner really shouldn't play property manager unless they really make it a huge part of their business. It's got to be tough.
Well, I think the biggest thing, and I actually have properties in a different state also, and I thought being that I was in the business that I could, you know, manage them myself, just thinking that exact same way. What I found is that when you're out of town, you're not anywhere close by, if something goes wrong, it's not worth you getting on a plane to come take care of it.
Mm.
And you let things go longer. You know, if you're out of town and a resident's not paying you, just to be able to file an eviction or start the eviction process takes you maybe a month and a half to do it, and they're behind a month and a half. Whereas you have somebody local, they do it all day long. And then they can get on it and take care of it, and you don't have to be scrambling trying to figure it out. So I think being out of town and trying to manage things probably just about impossible.
All right.
If you want to be efficient.
Yeah, I want to second that. I'm a manager, but I, as you know, I have properties in other states. I don't manage my own, even more so than the rent problem, just doing a drive-by on the property and see how the tenant's keeping it after they've been there for a couple of months is invaluable, and I can't do that from Arizona when the property's in Texas.
Oh, no, I was just going to put Ryan on the spot, but you both have said this. This is interesting. So I want to reiterate this. So not only do I have – you two gentlemen who own and staff full-service property management companies and are brokers of both of these operations, with your own rental property out of state, you hire property managers. So that
for
really,
sure.
Yeah, wow. I didn't expect both of you to say that. So let me ask this. This is something that I think all of us would be interested in. Ryan, since you brought it up initially, what do you look for in a property manager? You're a property manager. You probably know all the screw-ups that could happen out there. When you're looking for a property manager in Georgia or New Jersey, what are some of the things that give you a good feeling about a property manager?
Well, I think you want to make sure that's their full-time thing. There's a lot of property people who are managing properties or also agents who sell property. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you want to make sure that's what they're doing full-time. Because you can be managing four houses or managing 700. It's the same headaches. So that's my first question is what do you do all the time? You know, what's your focus? That'd be my first question. I'd also want to know about the software. For me, it's important to know what type of property management software they use. For example, we use a company called PropertyWare, and it allows you to get on there and see all the bills anytime, day or night. And I would want to be able to have that access. So if I had any questions, I can go on there and see it without having to call somebody or have them fax me or email me something.
Good. Chris, what are you looking for?
Well, you know, I find it interesting you brought up PropertyWare. We also use PropertyWare. We just converted to that. The reason we use PropertyWare is my owners are in Canada as well as across the states. I like the cloud-based management system so that they can get on and look at it. I like the ability of tenants to get on and do their complaints in writing right within the system. So as an owner, I have full access to what's happened with my account anytime I want to look. So I agree with Ryan. I love the software. The second thing I want to know about is I want to know what their tenant turnover is. If they've got a high tenant turnover, generally they're either not managing the properties well, keeping them in good habitable condition, or they're not screening the tenants well. Both of them are indicators of problems.
There's a point in a radio show at times, and I want to share this with everybody, where I'm like, kind of like, wow, I'm just sitting here going, this is turning out to be an incredible show. And I'm at that moment. I'm just, this show's turning out better than I expected already, because this is very, very insightful info. Let me flip that question around though, and start with you this time, Chris. When you're out there shopping for property managers, you both mentioned software and this and that. What's something you don't want to see? Like, give me maybe the flip side of that. What's something that you're like, oh my gosh, stay away from property managers like this, or if you hear them say this or that, that's a red flag. Is there anything come to mind for you that would be a kind of a caution or a warning for our listeners?
Well, you know, there's an old image of property managers, and when you see it, a lot of people use it in advertising. It's the big, huge guy with the tattoos on his arm that says, this is our property manager. He ensures you get your rent. To me, that's not what I want to see for a property manager. What I want to see, to be blunt, is some young girl that's running the company and still getting my rent. I want to see a well-run company, not a company that has to hire an enforcer. Number two, I want to see a company that doesn't have a lot of vacancies. Because if they don't have a lot of vacancies, they know how to find tenants. And the most expensive thing in management, naturally, is finding tenants and keeping tenants. And probably last but not least that I don't want to see is I don't want to see somebody that's running kind of a fly-by-night business. I mean, for example, there's one property manager that's in Arizona who works out of a Staples. I mean, you've got to have a physical location somewhere. I believe in cloud computing, and I believe we can do everything on the Internet, but you still got to have a stable location you're working from.
I like it. I like it. You know, back in the day, it was work out of Kinko's. Now it's Staples. More variety, you know. No, those are great points. Ryan, anything you'd add to there?
I agree with everything Chris said, and that last thing being the most important thing, just making sure you're dealing with an established company, that they do have a physical location, because you'd be surprised. A lot of people start doing it. They think this is a great idea to be in this business, and they start doing it, and then they – about a year later, they realize this is horrible, and they just close up. But if you find a place that does, that's been in business for a while and has that establishment, they're probably not going anywhere. Or it's going to be a lot harder for them to go somewhere.
Yeah, you don't want a property manager that can hide. You may want
that's
to hide,
right.
But you don't want your property manager hiding.
It's true.
All right, well, we've got a question here from one of our listeners, and I want to throw this out. If anybody has a live, would like to ask a question on the line, we have many callers that are already just listening from their phone at lunch. If you'd like to call in and you're listening on your computer, just mute your computer and call. The number is 646-200-4285. That's 646-200-4285. 4285. Just let Lisa know what your question might be in regards to, and we'll bring you out on the line. But we've got a chat line question here. This is from JoLynn. She says, how do you and where do you market your rental properties? It can be hard working with property – I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. It can be hard working with different property managers. I've used Craigslist and eBay. Do these guys have any ideas on where to market rentals and where they may market rentals? Chris, first you.
Well, we use Craigslist, of course. Everybody does. We don't put the ad directly on Craigslist, though. We use one of the off-site Craigslist feeding sites. There's several of them out there. We always market them on our MLS. That gets the realtor community involved. And in Arizona, the MLS feeds out to a dozen different websites, including Renter.com, RentClicks, RentalMeter, and Trulia. The majority of our leads from marketing outside of the sign in the front yard and flyers in the local area businesses that might have the need for rentals, outside of the local marketing, those four sites are the ones that give us the most hits, and probably Trulia is the highest out of the four.
Could you repeat those four just for everybody? Trulia?
Sure. Trulia, RentClicks, RentalMeter, and Renter.com.
Okay. Love it.
Now, if you're doing a vacation rental, I'd add VRBO on there.
Good, good. Gosh, what quality info. This is just fantastic. Thank you so much. Ryan, anything? Where do you find your tenants? Do you use a lot of the same resources?
Same resources. We use Craigslist. What we found, though, is that those websites, at least for us, the market here in Craigslist, it gets a lot of people calling, and it gets a lot of interest. The only thing we run into is people will call about a property that if they're trying to live in the southern part of the city, and they'll call about property in the northern part of the city. So Craigslist will generate the calls as well, but what we found usually is the best thing is the signage. which Chris was talking about, in front of the house. The reason a signage is good is most likely if they're calling you off the signage, they've seen the house. They already know the neighborhood. That's the neighborhood they want to be in. Maybe a friend or a relative lives close by. So not having signage, the most important thing with signage, I'd use the other things, just alternates. And it'll save you a lot of time.
And they had a spot on signage. Don't use the Home Depot red and white sign that says for lease.
Yeah.
Get a professional-looking sign. It'll save yourself some headaches.
And some places don't put for lease because people don't know what lease means, and you have to put for rent. So, again, it just matters which market you're in. I had it happen. I had a for lease sign in a yard forever, and no one ever called about it, and I realized they didn't know what for lease meant. They had to see for rent.
Oh, no. Now, you're not going to let me make a Tennessee joke out of that, are you? I'm not.
No.
Okay, fair enough, Ryan. That's good. That's funny, though. That's good. Now, let me ask. I personally have this kind of question here. I wanted to throw this out. What do you think about lease options when it comes to property managers? Does it create a bad dynamic, an unnecessary dynamic? Does it matter at all? Chris, first again, what would you say?
Well, you know, in theory, and it's a good theory, you can do a lease option because the tenant is responsible for the majority of the repairs to some set limit. You can do a lease option without having a property manager because there's not as much hands-on. But what we find actually happens, and you know I do a lot of lease options, I represent a lot of lease options. What we find happens is about half the owners end up paying some sort of a la carte service. So they end up paying us to find the lease option E for them, and they end up paying us to do the initial check to make sure they're maintaining the house. And then if an issue comes up that's beyond the scope of the maintenance, they end up paying us to oversee the maintenance. So unless you're really comfortable with real estate, it's still not always ideal not to have a property manager, and that's going to kind of depend on how comfortable you are and how comfortable your tenant is.
I like it. Ryan, do you like clients that want the lease option? Does it bother you? Does it care? Does it change your dynamic when you're a property manager?
It doesn't change at all for us. The only thing that always worries me about the lease options, and any time the residents are responsible for the maintenance, what always scares me is they just might not call in then. So if you got a bad leak in the house, there's a big problem, it says in the lease option they're responsible for it, they might not call you until the whole ceiling's falling down and they just can't afford to fix it at that point. So you'd still want a management company to go out there and inspect and just make sure they're even maintaining the house.
Excellent, excellent. Ooh, good stuff. That is true, because I'm just going to say this for some of the more novice listeners out there. When you're a property owner and you have a lease option tenant, typically what you're doing is, of course, getting an option fee up front, which is wonderful, which you get to keep typically regardless of whether they exercise the option or not. And then you turn over the maintenance to the tenant. Because they're going to take, quote-unquote, better care of the property because they're ultimately are going to buy it. So the theory is it's going to reduce your costs and get you that upfront fee, and you're going to peg a price. Lease options can be very effective. But I like what you said, Ryan, too, that you have to be cautious and careful that the tenant could still beat the crap out of the property, and then you're left holding the bag under some wrong assumptions. That's a very good point. Okay, well, we've got a live caller here. I'd like to bring him out here, and we'll let him bring up his own question here regarding evictions. Al, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. It's been a while since I had to call and bug you guys, but I'd have liked to have this program about 2 months ago. I just got rid of some tenants that I wish I'd have never seen, but you've all had one of those, I know. How do you guys deal with lease and with evictions? Do you go after them immediately when rent's late? So if rent's due on the first with no grace period, on the second, do you give them their 3-day notice or 30-day notice, whatever's required in your state? And then do you try to do the evictions yourself, or do you have an attorney that does them?
Gentlemen, I guess we've been kind of going Chris first. That's the rotation that's working here. Chris, what's your thought? How aggressive are you on evictions? Do you go right after them on day two?
Well, first off, it depends on the laws. If we have no right or no grace period, and there's no mail flow for the state I'm in, or they're paying electronically, so that gets rid of the mail float. If we don't have the rent by 5 o'clock on the day it's due, we immediately send them a notice. And we send the notice three ways on the same day. The first way is we send out one of our people to go try to hand deliver it, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. While they're hand delivering it, they post it on the house, which in Arizona is considered service, and we send it certified mail. When I get ready to do the eviction, we use an attorney to do it just because he has more experience and it's cheap. It's yep. Out here in Arizona, it's $350 for an eviction. It's not worth our time to do it.
Understood.
Excellent.
It sounds like Chris Wilson, is that right?
That's right.
Hey, Chris, I remember sitting in your class on, forget what it was, wholesaling or fix and flip or something. So it's been a while since I heard your voice. It sounds like you're still in business, though.
Still in business. Still growing.
Well, and Al, before Ryan, we get your comment here, I stay on the line, Al, here too, if you have a follow-up. It's interesting. I forget as a radio show host to halfway through the show to forget that there's people that join the show a little late. So let me take a moment to say this. We've got Chris Wilson on the line out of a broker, property manager, real estate investor, speaker around the country out of Phoenix on the line with us. And we also have Ryan on the line with us. I'm sorry, Ryan, I apologize, I got to pull this back up here. I had Ryan Lubin here, his bio is right here in front of me. And Ryan Lubin is out of Memphis, Tennessee, and he's been came to us very highly recommended as a very honest real estate property manager out of Memphis, and we had several clients say, you got to have Ryan on the show to talk about this topic when you do. So we were anxious to have Ryan on the line. But we're talking about rental property today and how to better manage our rental properties and manage our property managers. Before we let Al go here, Ryan, did you have a comment about evictions? How aggressive are you with evictions?
Well, we found, and again, we have to assume this is someone who's just started renting from you. They haven't been in there for 10 years, and they're a new resident. We found, and we've gone back and forth many times. We used to start the eviction process on the 7th day of the month, and then we went to the 20th, and now we're back on the 7th day. What we found is you're better off just starting it. And just in Tennessee, just because you start the process, just because you get a court date set and they serve them papers, doesn't mean you have to put them out. But from our standpoint, we want to make sure our clients are covered, and we don't want somebody to get 3 months behind on rent because they kept making promises and we waited till the end of the month to start the eviction process. And you were talking about earlier the mistakes that we make is, you know, people trying to manage their properties ourselves. We get emotional about it, and we're scared to file that eviction or start being stern at the very beginning because we don't want the person to move out. You got to almost just teach people that, you know, your rent's due by this date. If you don't do it, we're going to start the eviction process. And at the same time, let them know, hey, we're starting the eviction process. It doesn't mean we want you to leave. I really want you to stay there. I'm just covering all my bases. And that way you're always covered.
Do you use an outside lawyer too?
We do. In Tennessee, you have. No, I don't know if it's like that in most states, but in Tennessee, you do have to use an outside lawyer. And again, our eviction cost is only $200.
See, I'm looking at $500 plus service fees in my state, so it's sort of.
And you're going to run into that. If you're an individual trying to do it, you'll run into that.
Yeah, and I'm inclined to just do the paperwork myself because it's fairly cookie cutter. As long as you're getting them on rent, it's a pretty straightforward process. If there's other reasons, it's not as straightforward, but. I left these guys in for 75 days, and then they're mad at me because I finally got them to leave, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, Al, thank you so much for the call. Excellent, excellent question. And thank you for listening to the show. Pass the word.
Yeah, I love it, Mark.
Thank you very much. Now, I think Al brings up – thank you. Well, I think Al brings up something, too, that I want to mention for everybody is that obviously Al's a little bit of a do-it-yourselfer. And I think we brought that up a little earlier in the show, Al, is that if you live in your town, if your rental property's in your town, and you've got the time to personally handle these things and you want to take them to small claims court and not hire a lawyer and do some of these things yourself, I think you've got a better shot of doing that if you're managing rentals down the street from where you live. But I think going to another state, again, 99% of the time, you're going to save money because your property managers can get you better deals with attorneys and be more forceful and be more responsive. So I think I'll very, very good comments for all of us to consider there. We've got another caller on the line with a question. Let's welcome Jason to the show. Jason, it's a little scratchy there. You may be on a cell phone, but throw out your question for our experts.
Yes. With regards to establishing baseline and the house condition, if you purchase a house from another homeowner and it has an existing tenant whose contract is not up yet, how do you go about establishing that baseline condition of the house?
Good. And let me take that question off the air a little bit, Jason. Stay on the line, but it's a little background noise. So thank you so much, Jason. And let me add to his question, if you gentlemen didn't hear that, let me elaborate on it. And he put a little bit on the chat window. He said, or Lisa typed it for him. I don't want you to think he was driving and chatting. He said, Jason said, if you take over a property that has a tenant already in there and there's never been videos or pictures taken, can you establish that now with a new tenant? Ryan, I'll ask you, what do you do if a new client comes to you, they just bought a property, they've got a tenant already in there, but there is no baseline? Can you go in and do the video at that point and the pictures and try to establish the condition?
I mean, you could. I don't know if it would be necessary at that point. I don't know what kind of argument or any type, you know. I mean, the whole thing you're worried about is when the tenant moves out, you know, is the tenant going to say, hey, there was already holes throughout all the walls. In that case, we'd make the tenant have to prove it when it comes to them getting back the security deposit. It's not a bad idea. It can't hurt to go in there and just, you know, see if there's any problems, see if there's any leaks that the last owner didn't address so you're not causing, you know, future damage to the property.
Chris, I assume that if you bought a new property that had a tenant already in there, you could go and introduce yourself and say, hey, we'd like to do an inspection and walk through and kind of see how things are looking and make it very positive. Is that possible? What do you do?
Yeah, we actually do that. Before we take a property under management, whether it's tenanted or not tenanted, our policy is we go walk through the property. One of the things I like to do is when the property is being looked at, there's a tenant in there, we'll call the tenant and see if we can set up coming to see the property that day. If the tenant is resistant that day, we still have to give them a 48-hour notice. But I've learned over the years, and this sounds kind of bad, please don't take it that way, I've learned over the years that tenants that have nothing to hide, barring everyday normal work environment, let you in as soon as you can get there. Tenants that are trying to hide something demand you stick to the 48-hour notice. So we get a good feel on not only what the property's like, but what the tenant relationship is going to be like.
A great comment. Okay,
and then
well,
we know what it looks like before they move out.
Gotcha. Let's do that walkthrough. Good stuff. Well, we're almost out of time here, and so since Chris just made a comment, Ryan, I'm going to come back to you. Ryan, would you please set forth your phone number and website so that people in the Tennessee area can look upon you for some support?
Great. Thank you. Our website is www.lpmproperty.com. And our telephone number is 272-0100. And I'll just tell you, if anybody's looking at any properties here in Memphis, even if you're just thinking about it, please call us. We suggest to any of our clients or future clients, you know, when you're looking at property, let us look at it first and give you some feedback on it.
Ooh, good point. And that's a wonderful role to play there, to have you kind of bird dog a property and go look at it. Let me repeat the phone number. That is 901-272-0100, and that's L as in Lubin, P as in property, M as in management. So that's lpmproperty.com. Ryan, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You betcha. And Chris, how can people get a hold of you in the Phoenix area?
Well, first off, the phone number is 623-385-7000. And for the website, It's Real Living, REALLIVING, property for, and the, no, or the letter for, or the word for, FORUYOU.com. So Real Living Property for You.com. And there's a Connect Us button on there that sends you right to property management.
I love it. Okay, I'm going to repeat that just as I did before. 623-385-7000. And that's Real Living Property for You. That's FORYOU.com. Chris, thanks for being here with us. I'm so excited to have you here.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Well, you're a good friend, and your advice here has been just awesome. So what a fantastic show. Chris, we hope to have you back.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Take care now.
Thanks, Ryan. We'll have you here too again.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Now, folks, here, another amazing Mark Kohler show, hopefully changing your life, giving you some important, useful tips.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.